Welcome to the TPS 5 for the week of May 8th through the 12th. TPS 5 is a weekly recap of the latest in marketing, communications, and digital healthcare news, as curated by the expert hosts of the Touchpoint Media Network. To learn more about Touchpoint Media, visit us online at touchpoint.health. Our lead story this week comes from Wired.com and is entitled, "When Healthcare Moves Online, Many Patients Are Left Behind." As we have seen through the coronavirus pandemic, medical care is now being delivered more and more virtually through telemedicine options. But for tens of millions of Americans without smartphones or speedy home internet connections, that is problematic. And without the access to fast internet connections, the digital divide is widening and exacerbating pre-existing disparities in access to healthcare for many already underserved populations. The article shares a story of Carla Harwell, a primary care doctor based in Cleveland, where nearly one-fourth of households lack broadband. Her patients are predominantly Black and older, and many are lower income with chronic conditions like hypertension, asthma, diabetes, or obesity. All things that place them at the top of the list for dying from COVID, Harwell says. It also means my patient population is at the bottom of the list for access to the technology that's needed to effectively do telemedicine. Patients without reliable devices or internet services are receiving inferior care, or none at all, and in some cases, doctors are asking patients on the wrong side of the digital divide to come in for visits despite the safety risks. Patients unfamiliar with or lacking access to technology already tend to not use digital health tools that can improve health outcomes and allow for online appointment scheduling or even prescription refills, let alone message their doctors directly through online patient portals. Telemedicine was supposed to increase access to healthcare during a national medical emergency, says Jorge Rodriguez, a physician at Boston Brigham and Women's Hospital, who also studies healthcare technology disparities. But for some, he says, it's just another barrier. The article points out that since March, doctors across the spectrum, from infectious wound specialists to psychiatrists and pulmonologists, have reshuffled their hierarchy of care. In-person appointments, which used to be the bread and butter of medicine, are now a last resort. Instead, to avoid full waiting rooms that expose both doctors and patients to COVID-19, video conferencing is becoming the preferred alternative, with telephone consults the next best option. But as many as 157 million people in the U.S. only have access to substandard download speeds. And given the financial impacts of the pandemic, roughly half of low-income Americans say they're concerned about being able to afford broadband and smartphone bills, according to Pew Research's data in April. In rural areas, where Pew figures suggest only 63% of residents have home broadband subscriptions, even doctors that are trying to treat patients remotely are having trouble receiving x-rays, MRIs, or CAT scans from rural hospitals or doctor's offices that don't have the bandwidth to upload image files to the cloud. Now, medical training emphasizes demeanor as a key signal of the patient's condition. Without sitting across from a patient, it's much harder for a doctor to tell how they're doing. Are they leaning over? Are their nostrils flaring? Are they pale or flush? Even details like whether a patient has been clipping their toenails or washing their hair can hint at cognitive decline or potential self-neglect. Pediatric kidney specialist Ray Bignall, who typically looks forward to appointments with immigrant families, is feeling the impact in declining office visits. On some calls, he spends as much time guiding families through the technology as he does helping them with their medical concerns. The internet is no longer a luxury. It's now a necessity, Bignall states. I don't think anybody in 2020 would claim not having internet in their home would be okay. We got to start thinking about access to internet as a utility, just like power and water and sewer. Now physicians are beginning to suggest clinics should routinely screen for connectivity when patients reach the front desk. That's not yet a standard practice, meaning many health systems don't know which families can easily video conference and which are sharing a limited number of monthly minutes on a smartphone. As health systems begin to open again, Carla Harwell hopes to ramp up her in-person visits, but she knows telemedicine in some shape or form is here to stay, especially if we see another wave of COVID-19 as predicted by public health experts. We will get through this pandemic, she says, but what will we do about what it's highlighting? You can read more about this article in our show notes. And now other stories from this week. The New York Times published an article on June 8th entitled "Hospitals Got Bailouts and Furloughed Thousands While Paying CEOs Millions." In the article, it highlights dozens of top recipients of government aid that have laid off, furloughed, or cut the pay of tens of thousands of their employees. Many of these health systems have continued to pay their top executives millions, although some executives have taken modest pay cuts. Read more in our show notes. Health IT Analytics ran an interesting article highlighting a partnership between the National Minority Quality Forum and Centene Corporation, who will work together to evaluate COVID-19 health disparities in underserved communities. The Minority and Rural Health Coronavirus Study will focus on the disproportionate impact the virus is having on communities of color. The pandemic has shined a bright light on what we have known for decades. Throughout our nation's history, racial minorities have experienced reduced access to healthcare, higher rates of chronic conditions, and ultimately higher rates of mortality across a range of health conditions, said Gary Puckrin, president and CEO of NMQF. With so many minority populations serving in essential roles on the front lines of this pandemic, we have an urgent need to provide them with accessible, equitable healthcare. Soon, Twitter users will be prompted to think twice before retweeting an article before reading it. Guardian.com reports that on a test that's being done by Twitter. Sharing an article can spark conversation, so you may want to read it before you tweet it, Twitter said in a statement. To help promote informed discussion, we're testing a new prompt on Android devices. When you retweet an article that you haven't opened on Twitter, we may ask if you'd like to open it first. Lastly, be sure to check out this week's The Exam Room podcast with host Dr. Brian Vartabedian. He speaks with Dr. Jay Parkinson, founder of Sherpa, which was recently acquired by Crossover Health, and the conversation covers technology, innovation, and healthcare. As Dr. Vartabedian states, Jay has done and built what most of the health world can only talk about on Twitter. His lens on healthcare has helped many of us see the world differently. You can find the link to this and all the other articles in our show notes. And that's it for this week's TPS 5. If you like the latest in healthcare news in an email delivered weekly to your inbox, be sure to subscribe to the TPS report, which you can sign up for on the Touchpoint Media website at touchpoint.health. And even though the summer is beginning, be sure to practice physical distancing and please wear your masks in public to ensure we're staying vigilant about managing the spread of this pandemic. Talk to you all next week.